Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we begin reading at verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 9. And we're going to read down through verse 15 of chapter 10, where we read, "This wisdom," Solomon writes, "have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I've seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, and a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city." What a fascinating text as we continue to work our way through the book of Ecclesiastes. We started with Solomon discussing the experiments in life to find purpose and satisfaction and meaning. And we've come, as we've worked our way through the book, to the point where Solomon is sharing wisdom, specifically in chapters 9, 10, 11, and as we'll see in chapter 12. But in the text we have here before us this morning, what we really see is the distinction between the wise and the fool. And he's elaborating on this, something that we read much about in the book of Proverbs. But he begins to talk about that here in Ecclesiastes. And what Solomon is saying here in this text is the wise person in life often seems to get the short end of the stick. I mean, isn't that the truth so often? The wise person seems to get the short end of the stick. And yet wisdom is an extremely valuable commodity. Greater than strength or wealth, Solomon says here. I mean, wisdom is greater than strength. It's greater than riches. It's greater than wealth. I mean, wisdom is a key commodity in life. Conversely, though, the fool, the foolish person, always seems to get all the attention. Thus, the title of our study this morning is "The Fool Gets All the Attention." Solomon laments that fact in the text that we just read, and yet he continues, despite that, to exhort the reader to embrace wisdom and at the same time to recognize foolishness for what it is. He speaks to the reader in here really in a proverbial fashion. You can kind of see the way he's writing is in Proverbs here. In a proverbial fashion, he expresses truths about the distinction between wisdom and foolishness, or the wise and the fool, or wisdom and folly. But before we get to consider these distinctions, you'll see on your handout there's just two main points, characteristics of the fool that Solomon points out here and characteristics of the wise. Before we begin to consider those, notice chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, because I think we find here the root distinction between the wise and the fool. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, the path of life, as one walks the path of life, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. These two verses are crucial to understand at the outset, because we have to understand the root distinction between the wise person and the foolish person centers in the heart. And the Old Testament economy, and we might not make much of this, but the right hand was a place of honor. The left hand was a place of dishonor. You know, you want to be seated at the right hand, not at the left. You know, it's not talking here about political distinctions, the right or the left, okay? Or, you know, those kind of conservative or liberal. It's not what it's talking about here. We have to grasp this fact. The root distinction between the wise person and the fool is not in exterior circumstances necessarily. A wise person can be placed in very adverse circumstances and still be wise. A foolish person can be placed in adverse circumstances and be a fool, and vice versa. I mean, we have to understand the root is the heart. You know, Jeremiah said this, Jesus says this in the New Testament. It's from the heart that proceed, you know, who man truly is. That's what defiles a man, is the heart. So a wise man's heart is at his right hand. A fool's heart is at his left. And we also see here that the heart of foolishness has consequences before others. And we see that in verse 3. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, as he's walking the path of life, the fool, his wisdom faileth him. I mean, you know, he may know a little bit. He may have a little bit of wisdom, but because he's so foolish, he's a fool, it fails him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. I mean, you know, I don't think that means he goes around saying, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool. He's saying, it means his actions are showing that he is a fool. A fool's actions have consequences before others. Which leads me to this point. As we study and consider this morning, here's one of the hardest things to do when we're talking about characteristics of the wise and characteristics of the fool. You know what one of the hardest things to do is right here? To not think about somebody else. Oh, yeah, the characters of the fool. Oh, someone immediately comes to mind, you know, and you start thinking about this person or that person. The point here is to consider ourselves. I mean, Solomon's writing this so we do not fall into this trap of demonstrating the characteristics of a fool, but instead demonstrating the characteristics of a wise person. What are the characteristics of a wise person? That's what we want to see today. So as we're going through, understand, okay, number one, this stems from the heart. It stems from the heart. The fool his actions have consequences before others. People are going to know and see that this is a foolish person. This person acts like a fool. They're a fool. Other fools may not recognize it, but a wise person is going to recognize a fool. Okay? But the key here is to understand that we need to not just think about other people as we're talking about these characteristics. Oh, yeah, you know, Joe. Or, you know, when you think of a fool, oh, yeah, you know. Or, you know, Sally or whatever. Oh, yeah, she's totally characteristic of this. And we divert our attention from ourselves and inspecting ourselves to somebody else that's on our mind, who really may be foolish. Okay, but I mean, the point here is for us to consider this. So let us consider Solomon's characteristics of the fool and the wise person. Characteristics of the fool. Let's look at this first because he spends the most time here elaborating on this. Number one, the fool is confused and forgetful. And that's what we see in chapter 9, verses 13 through 17. Remember the story that he tells about this city, a little city and a few men in it, and there came a great king against it and besieged the city and built great bulwarks, and he found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom he delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. We know Solomon is calling the inhabitants of this city fools. How do we know that? Verse 17 of our text. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The fool is confused and forgetful. He's confused, number one, as to what is truly valuable in life. See in verse 16 there. Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, see that? Nevertheless, here's the fact. Wisdom is even better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The fool is confused as to what is truly valuable in life. The fool is enamored with those who are strong and wealthy and powerful, even though they lack wisdom. I mean, wow, does this not speak to us today in our society, in our culture? I mean, who are the heroes? Who are those? We talked about this earlier when Solomon was talking about, you know, the righteous man, the wise man will die and everybody forgets him, but the fool dies and he gets this great pomp and circumstance and a funeral and everybody. I mean, we live in a culture today where we magnify and lift up complete, and I'm saying this in a right way, foolish idiots that are all over our culture and our media and our society, and these people are as foolish as they can be to the core, but they're beautiful and wealthy and they're rich and they're powerful in their own way, and we just laud them today in our culture. The fool is confused as to what's truly valuable in life. He's enamored with, rather than wise people, foolish people who outwardly carry themselves in beautiful ways. They look on the outside rather than on the inside of a person. That's what Solomon's saying here. The inhabitants of this city were totally foolish. I mean, you know, they didn't care about this wise man just because, I mean, he was poor. He didn't, you know, he probably wasn't, you know, great looking, and he wasn't wealthy, and he wasn't, but he was wise, but they didn't care. They were confused as to what is truly valuable in life. And they're forgetful, verse 15, as to the value of the wise man. No man remembered that same poor man. Even though here is their hero, here is the man who through wisdom saved the city and delivered the city, but the fool doesn't remember, he forgets. They're forgetful as to the value of the wise man. And we can look back today and say history is bound to repeat itself because the foolish tend to forget. The foolish forget, you know. So you hear the saying, history is bound to repeat itself. Why is history bound to repeat itself? The foolish tend to forget. So the fool is confused and forgetful. Solomon makes it clear that the answer to this is listening to the one who is quiet yet wise, verse 17, as opposed to the loud, outspoken, foolish ruler. The words of the wise men, see how the word men are in italics there, and the thrust of this verse is the words of the wise, it's better to hear or should be heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Solomon is letting the reader understand, listen, get understand, prioritize, don't be confused and forgetful. The words of the wise man are better to be heard or should be heard in the quiet. The wise man is the one who you are to listen to. Don't listen to the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And the word cry there isn't just like, you know, cry like, oh, boo-hoo. It's you're loud. You're crying out. You're loud. Don't listen to the fools and the ruler among fools. Listen to the quiet wise man. So the fool, number one, is confused and forgetful. Number two, the fool is lethal. The fool is lethal. We see this beginning in verse 18, down in chapter 10, verse 1. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Dead fly has caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. The fool is lethal. Foolishness is lethal. See that word destroyeth there in verse 18 of chapter 9? The word destroyeth is set against weapons of war. See the contrast. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. That's pretty good. It's pretty good to be better than weapons of war. All right? But one sinner destroyeth. That's even greater than weapons of war. This is destruction. Destroyeth much good. Wisdom is powerful, Solomon is saying here, but foolishness can be even more powerful because it can destroy one's life and the lives of others. It can destroy. It can ruin. One moment of foolishness can ruin the life of a good and wise person. We know this through probably our personal lives, but Scripture gives us plenty of examples as well. As those who are maybe even wise people, but a moment in time of foolishness destroyed this person, and it affected other people, and it destroyed their testimony. I mean, can you think of some examples maybe in Scripture where this was a reality? What's that? David. Oh, think of David, this moment of foolishness, what it did to him and the lion after him and his own family right then. I mean, it's amazing. I saw another hand, Ruth. Moses, I was thinking of Moses. I mean, think of Moses, this moment of acting foolish. Okay, none of you guys are going in, you know. I mean, Moses, a lifetime of greatness and a wise man. I mean, he had his faults like we all do, but But this moment, a moment, destroyed him. I'm not saying spiritually destroyed him. I'm saying it had consequences that ruined his life and the lives of others around him. Remember Achan? You know? I mean, Achan. One guy. God says, don't take of the spoils. If I don't do it, he hides it under his tent. Now, man, there's some good-looking gold here. You know? There's some great little trinkets. You know? Huge, huge consequences because of an act of foolishness. Solomon's making, and we can think of others, Solomon's making this point, the fool is lethal. It doesn't take much foolish thought or behavior to ruin the reputation of even a wise person. Which is why in chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And he uses this brilliant example of a fly in the ointment, of a perfumer's ointment. A fly is small. I mean, it's this little thing. But it can ruin a whole batch of perfume if you get a dead fly in one. I didn't even realize that flies stunk. They seem so small. There was some time in the past. I think it was those, you know, those things they stick to on a tree or whatever. And there was one of those. I walked by like, woo, it smells bad. Flies stink. A little fly can ruin a whole batch of perfectly wonderful perfume. Solomon's using this as a visual picture. A little bit of foolish behavior, foolish belief, folly, foolishness in the life of even one who is generally a wise person can have lethal consequences. Think about leaven. I mean, the principle in the New Testament here is the counterpart to the Old Testament text. A small batch of leaven can permeate a whole lump, you know, of dough. So you put a little bit of leaven in there, and you know, if my mom makes these like cinnamon roll things with that Bridgeford dough, or I don't know how it works or whatever, but you put little, she's not here today, so I can say all kinds of bad stuff. But no, you put a little bit in, and when you look in the oven, it's like just that one section all puffed up and the rest of the dough is, you know, like flat. Or is the whole thing like the whole thing in the oven is like puffed up. A little bit of leaven. And infects the whole thing. A little bit of one little dead fly infects the whole perfume, the whole ointment. In New Testament, the leaven. There are two kinds of leaven. There are two things of foolishness that can have profound effects on our lives, even as Christians today in the New Testament. Number one, the leaven of wicked behavior. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. In 1 Corinthians... excuse me, chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul is talking to these Corinthian believers, and there's fornication involved among the believers there. And Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little bit of this sin can have profoundly negative ramifications on the whole body. And he's talking here about behavior, fornication. Those involved in, you know, fornication. But then there's a second leaven besides just behavior, doing the wrong things, but believing the wrong things. Bad doctrine. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. In Matthew 16, 6, Jesus says unto his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, his disciples are standing there, and they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we haven't taken any bread? I mean, we forgot to bring bread. We didn't eat. I mean, is that what he's talking about? Don't go buy it. Don't go buy any bread from the Pharisees and Sadducees when you go get some. Save Mart. It's way better at Save Mart anyway, right? Is that what Jesus is saying? No, when Jesus perceived that, he said, no, ye of little faith, why reason me among yourselves because ye brought no bread? Don't you understand or remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, how many baskets you took? I mean, he's saying, I'm not talking about physical bread just because you forgot to bring some bread. That, you know, I can make bread out of nothing, Jesus is saying. And he adds in verse 11, how is it you don't understand? I spake it not to you concerning bread that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then understood they. They're like, oh, now we get it. How he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We won't turn there, but over in Galatians chapter 5. Well, yeah, I have to. Galatians 5:5. Galatians 5:5. Again, doctrine, leaven of bad doctrine. In Galatians 5:5, Paul's writing to the churches in Galatia. It says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Faith, faith, faith. It's not works. It's not a false gospel of works. It's faith. "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You were doing great. I mean, who came and is trying to tell you that your salvation comes or is perfected through works of the flesh? "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." Look at verse 9. "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Is Paul talking there about behavior or doctrine? Well, doctrine, which leads to wrong behavior, but the root's doctrine. So see what we have here? Whether it's doctrine or behavior, we have to beware of allowing any bad doctrine or foolish behavior, even a small amount, into our lives. It's lethal and dangerous. And that's what Solomon's saying back here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. I mean, wisdom's powerful, but folly, foolishness, could be even more powerful in a negative way. Just a little bit of one dead fly. One dead fly, just the same, so doth a little folly, a little foolishness, ruin the person and reputation for wisdom and honor. Man, okay, it's a wake-up call to all of us. Be careful. Be careful about our doctrine and our behavior, what we're believing and how we are behaving. Because a little bit of it being wrong can have profoundly negative implications. Okay, so that's number two, or letter B. Gotta move on. The fool is confused and forgetful. The fool is lethal. Letter C, the fool is incompetent. The fool is incompetent. And we see that in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. The idea here is a foolish ruler. Solomon's talking about a ruler who is foolish. He's incompetent in regard to making proper judgments and decisions. So Solomon says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, an error which proceedeth from the ruler. You know, folly is set in dignity, and the rich are in a low place, and servants are on horses, and princes are walking as servants. I mean, they're incompetent, these incompetent rulers out there. I've seen it, Solomon says. Foolish rulers. Let me first say that incompetent rulers, whether we're talking here in the political realm or whether we're talking here about those who are employees, employers, who you work for, incompetent rulers do exist. They existed back thousands of years ago. Solomon said, I saw this. Let me tell you something else about fools. There's these foolish, incompetent rulers that are out there. They have everything turned around. But just because they are incompetent does not mean we disrespect them if God has allowed them to be in this place of authority. I mean, that's something kind of heavy to think about. Doesn't mean we disrespect. We have the idea today that if we don't like our boss or we don't like our president or our congressman or our governor, we can be totally disrespectful toward that person. Now, someone asked me this question. It was a really good question, and it was brought up weeks ago when Solomon was talking about our response to the government and that kind of thing. Someone said, you know, if you don't have respect for a leader, is that wrong? And I'm thinking through this and I'm saying, no, I think it's very possible to not have respect for somebody, but you aren't to be disrespectful toward them or show disrespect toward them. You know, there are leaders that exist in this world I have no respect for. I honestly have zero respect personally on a personal. I do not respect who they are, but I'm not going to show or disrespect them. That's not what I'm to be doing, going around disrespecting and showing disrespect for them just because maybe I don't respect them. And so we have to be very careful. Solomon's going to address that here in a minute too, but we have to be very careful. Incompetent rulers do exist. But God's allowed them to be there. He's in control. Remember what Solomon keeps coming back to, the providence and sovereignty of God? He's in control. He's allowed it to be. I don't want Grace Bible Church to be a place where people know, oh, that church is just constantly, they're just constantly disrespectful of, you know, politics and leaders and those whom God has put. I mean, this is, okay, all right. We got to be very careful that we are not disrespectful toward those in authority over us politically, economically, our bosses, or whatever it might be. You have a right not to respect them. You don't have a right to be disrespectful toward them, okay? That's what the Bible says over and over again. So be careful what you say, when you're talking to, what you're out there posting, whatever all that gets out for everybody. I mean, show some, be a Christian. Be a follower of Christ. And Solomon is here making very a good point about, yeah, there are incompetent rulers. In this instance, Solomon refers to a ruler who exalts foolishness and punishes the wise. I mean, you know, he's got it all turned around. He can be referring to either a political ruler or an employer ruling over employees, but the fact remains, injustice does exist. How does the wise respond? We're going to look at this in a minute when we look at the characteristics of the wise, but we see that in verse 4 of chapter 10. We're going to consider this shortly. Foolish decisions on the part of rulers cause much injustice and unfairness in life, yet our responsibility is to recognize this fact and not fall victim to either foolish behavior as a ruler. If God puts you in a place of authority, don't be a fool. Don't be an incompetent, foolish ruler. Or we need to not fall victim to foolish behavior as the subject of the ruler, which most of us are in this place. I mean, most of us here are subjects, you know, of rulers over us. Well, you know, most of us, well, we're all subject to the rulers of the, nobody in here is the president or, you know, the U.S. or governor of California. So we're subject, okay? So we have to be careful. The fool is incompetent. Be aware of the fact they do exist, but there's no place to be disrespectful. Okay, the fool is incompetent. Letter D, the fool is lazy. The fool is lazy. And we see that beginning in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, and then down to verse 15. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. 8, 9, 10, 11. Notice particularly verse 10, the latter part. Wisdom is profitable to direct. I believe Solomon here is addressing an attitude of folly or foolishness in regard to workers. And I say that because I think verse 10 is the key. For in verse 10, he contrasts the behavior of these workers with wisdom. And he uses the word babbler in verse 11. So the foolish worker or laborer is in mind when Solomon says here, you know, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt and he don't whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but here's the contrast, but wisdom, as opposed to this foolish behavior on the part of lazy workers, wisdom is profitable to direct. The foolish person just doesn't take the time to do things right. The key is he or she doesn't take the time to do things right. He will either try to cut corners or do the least amount of work necessary. I think that's what Solomon is saying here. And in every instance, Solomon points out this lazy attitude has consequences in life. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. I mean, you know, you're not doing it right. And here's the consequence. You're going to fall into it. You know, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Well, you haven't done enough, you know, job in you know, break, do what, get, you know, get the snakes out first, okay? And then break the hedge and take the time to do it right. He who shall remove a stone shall be hurt therewith. Oh, I mean, oh, this stone's heavy. Drop it on my toe. Oh, man, ow, I just broke my toe. You know, I'm not doing it right. I'm not even taking the time. I'm lazy. And as Christians, we are called by God to be industrious and dependable, the best workers possible, regardless of whether or not our boss is competent. I have a host of New Testament references here where we are called in Ephesians 6 and 1 Timothy 6 and Titus 2 and 1 Peter 2. I mean, all these things, and we can't take the time to look all of them up because we'll run out of time, but You know, we are called today in this world, and God even says in his word, and it doesn't even matter if you have an unbelieving boss or not, a foolish, incompetent boss or not. It doesn't matter. We are called to do the best work, do it the right way for God's glory. And every one of those instances, it says, not unto men, not unto men, not unto men. Do it unto God. Everything you do, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You should be doing it as unto the Lord. It doesn't matter if your boss is an idiot and incompetent. It doesn't matter. Do it as unto the Lord. These texts in the New Testament, we don't have time to look up, are mirroring what Solomon is saying here. But wisdom is profitable to direct. I love that little phrase right there. It's saying, it's contrasting all those workers that are messing up and hurting themselves because of their foolishness. Wisdom is profitable to direct. The key here is to exercise wisdom rather than foolishness in our behavior, in our interaction in the workplace. Finally, the final characteristic, letter E here, the fool is loud. Back in verse 17, we read that, the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And in chapter 10, we see that in verses 12, 13, and 14. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. When I think of a fool, this is the number one thing. In fact, when I was working on this, and I'm studying this, and I'm kind of putting an outline together, I had this characteristic all the way up at the top at number one, because I'm like, that's what this text is saying very clearly. The fool is loud. They want to be the first one to talk. They want to be heard by everybody. But then as I'm studying here, it's like, well, yeah, it does say that in verse 17, but it really elaborates it on the end, so I have to put this characteristic at the very end. But I think it's the number one characteristic of the fool. Loud, wants to be heard. I love verse 14. A fool also is full of words. He or she wants to be heard. They want everyone to hear their opinion. They want to be the first to have to say something when an issue comes up. They have no shortage of words, and they have no shortage of opinion on every issue. You know? Listen to me, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I think about this, blah, 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 blah. You should do this, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I think about this, blah, blah. I mean, you know, you just want to, sit down and be quiet. The fool has many words. But look at verse 13. All their words are vain. There's another fascinating verse here in Ecclesiastes. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. That'd be a cool title, like mischievous madness. And you're talking about fools, and they're no lack of words, and they want to be the first to say everything, and they say it all, and they got their opinions, and they've got it all. Mischievous madness. From start to finish, the fool, notice here what Solomon's saying. The fool has nothing of value to say. Nothing. Because remember, it's stemming from the heart. Okay, remember, we go back to the beginning. It's stemming from what's inside. In fact, his beliefs, as they are enunciated through his lips, and I say his, because Solomon's using his, but his or her, their beliefs, as they speak through their lips, only go from bad to worse. From bad belief, what's on the inside, to disastrous consequences. And we have an entire book of 31 chapters called Proverbs, which really spells out a lot of these consequences and a lot of warnings about staying away from the fool and the foolish person. All their words are vain. Number one, all their words. Number two, the fool is a know-it-all. See the first part of verse 14? A fool also is full of words. I mean, the idea here seems to be that all we... And notice, full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be. The idea here seems to be that although we don't know what will happen from day to day, the fool has an answer and an opinion. You know? I think what this first part of verse 14 here is telling us is that the fool has a lot to say, even though man doesn't even know what his future holds. We don't know what our future holds. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, which is why James says, you know, we emphasize that the Lord will, we'll do this or that, because our life's like a vapor, we don't even know. Oh, the fool knows. He's got it all figured out, you know. He knows what's best, he or she knows what's best for himself and you and the neighbor down the street and everybody else. Oh, and the whole country. You know, we know, they know what's best. They know what's going to happen. They know how things are going to pan out and work out. That's the idea. They're a know-it-all. And the latter part of verse 14, the fool can't be taught or corrected. I mean, who can tell him? It seems as though Solomon is saying that although man does not know what tomorrow brings, the fool has an opinion and nobody can change his or her mind. Nobody can do it. You can't teach, you can't correct a fool. I mean, they've got it on, they already know. Just like every 14 to 16 year old that ever lived, right? Amen, parents? All right, 13, keep going lower, 12. All right, characteristics of the wise. Now, conversely, look at this. Number one, the wise are humble. An attitude of humility, as opposed to pride and self-focus, seems to be a primary difference between the wise person and the fool. Number one, they're humble in regard to their view of self. And we see that back in the story that Solomon told in chapter 9, verses 13 to 16. The wise person isn't looking for award or the applause of men. I mean, remember that poor wise man didn't go around, you know, I mean, he just was forgotten. I mean, he wasn't looking for applause. He wasn't focused on himself. He wasn't looking for the applause of men and for award. You know, well, I saved the city through my wisdom. Where's my MVP trophy? I mean, why did Joe get it when I'm the one that, you know, really was the mastermind of this saving the city? I mean, they're humble in regard, number one, to their view of self. And number two, they're humble in regard to their composure. And that's what we see in verse 17 of chapter 9, their composure. They don't need to be the loudest or the ones always being heard. They don't need to be. Unlike the fool, the wise person is confident in the truth he possesses because a wise person possesses the truth and embraces truth. And therefore, he realizes it can prevail without obnoxious pomp. The truth will prevail without obnoxious pomp. I don't know what other way to put it. I remember when I was in seminary, it was so true. I had a seminary professor who would talk about in relation to preaching and teaching, the loudest preachers are usually the most ones void of any biblical substance because they're trying to cover it all over by their loudness and their volume without any substance. I mean, and I, you know, I've thought about that. I've always remembered that. Of course, I'm even sharing with you today, so I've always remembered it. And as I listen to preachers or pastors and listen to them preaching and, you know, that makes so much sense. Usually the ones that are, they're the loudest and they're, it's all a cover. The louder they get is a cover for a lack of substance and certainty and clarity for what it is they're, well, they're not really drawing anything out from the word. They're just spewing their loudness. I mean, it goes from even in the, what I'm saying, it goes in the realm of Christianity too. I mean, this is so important we understand this. Humble in regard to their view of self. The wise are humble in regard to their composure. They don't need to be loud. They have enough confidence. They have enough certainty. They're not insecure in themselves or in the truth. They know the truth, and they stand and they rest in the truth, and it will prevail. Number two, the wise are calm. Chapter 10, verse 4, they're calm. This is what I said we come back to. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. They're calm. Rather than being brash and reactionary, they weigh their options calmly. Look over at Proverbs 25, 6. I love this. Proverbs 25, 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king and stand not in the place of great men, for better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, then thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Solomon says it's the wise person who doesn't get up and storm out and quit his job just because an incompetent ruler is being irrational toward him. Proverbs 14:29, I got to read this one too. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly, exalteth foolishness. I mean, you know, yeah, in the flesh, I just want to tell off my boss or whatever and stomp out and quit. And Solomon's like, that's a fool. A fool does that. Rather than being calm, you know, we put it this way in today's, we're reacting rather than acting, you know, whatever the psychological terminology is. But the fact of the matter is, hey, just don't be a fool, you know, don't fly off the handle and just quit. And Solomon's saying, don't do that. The wise, letter C, are industrious. And that goes back to chapter 10 and verse 10. I keep reading this. Wisdom is profitable to direct. A wise person will take the time to sharpen the axe before working so the work will be done properly. Yeah, I don't want to take the time to sharpen this axe. I just want to get this work done, you know. So I go out there and I take my dull axe to the forest and I start like, you know, chopping away. And it's like, oh, this is taking forever. And oh, I just hurt my hand because, you know, oh, and I pulled my hamstring because I didn't do it right. And it's dull and all this stuff. A wise person is just going to take the time to sharpen the axe before working so the work will be done right. The idea here seems to be contemplate your task, take the time to do whatever is necessary to get it done well and get it done right. Because true success in life will come to the person who walks in wisdom with regard to the tasks that God has set before us. That's how we're successful. Whether in the physical or the spiritual realm, we need to put on the mind of Christ in order to do anything right and be successful at it. Be humble, be calm, be industrious, do it right. Do it right the first time. I'm not saying we're not going to mess up sometimes, but I'm saying it's the mindset of a fool versus a wise person. And number, letter D, the wise are gracious. They're gracious. 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Their words, the wise person's words, reflect an attitude of grace toward others. Now notice the opposite, what that verse says, the opposite. The lips of a fool bring forth words that are self-defeating. The wise person edifies. The words of a fool tear down. Both parties in the end. You tear down somebody else and you yourself, you're going to go down. You know, you just eat yourself up. You're self-defeating. The fool wants to treat others according to their own fallible standard, while the wise person wants to treat others according to God's standard, which is grace and mercy toward others. You know, the fool wants to just chop everybody else down because you don't do it as good as I do it, or I want it to be done. And the wise person says, hey, you know what? You're doing a good job, or here's how you can help with this, and this is better, and you try to build others up and, you know, give them a break sometimes. Give them a break. In concluding the look at the distinction between the wise and the fool, it's important to realize once again, when God's word discusses a fool, it's addressing a person who does not take God into consideration. Even a Christian can be a fool, which is why Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, don't walk as fools, but as wise. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, don't walk that way. Ephesians 5:15. And we are wise by Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, we factor God and his will into every equation of life, our beliefs, our behavior, our speech, our work ethic, our family relationships. That's what we have to do as those who know Jesus Christ. It's kind of like what we talked about Wednesday night, disciple indeed, being truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, Solomon doesn't address this here, but in Proverbs, he says a lot about avoiding the fool. You know, separating from the fool. Not only should we refrain from foolishness ourselves, but as much as possible for our good and God's glory, well, you know, we got to watch out for the foolish. Don't be foolish and don't associate with those who are foolish. So, ran out of time. So, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to consider this today. What great wisdom we have before us, of course, in your word. And we pray that we would just learn from this, apply it to our own hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.